Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. If journalism is storytelling with a purpose, then Dan Rather is perhaps one of the most well-known storytellers of a generation. Rather shared stories this week in a lecture entitled What I Learned from a Lifetime of Reporting at the University of Louisiana at Monroe's Presidential Lyceum Series on Tuesday night. He also spoke to a masterclass of students on Tuesday afternoon. Dr. Kevin Unter is the head of the Department of Gerontology, Sociology, and Political Science at ULM and serves on the committee that puts together the Presidential Lyceum Series. Kevin Unter, what's the importance of having something like a Lyceum series associated with the university?
Well, what's important is the intellectual contribution that these people bring to the university and bring to the students, to the professors, to the community at large. You know, this is a small regional area, and to have national people of prominence to come in and give their experiences and talk about important issues of the day, chance that we normally wouldn't get in a place like Monroe.
So you've seen some of the media coverage of Dan Rather's visit. What got missed in that you heard, that you saw?
I really don't think much got missed. It's hard to at any point condense an entire day's worth of Dan Rather into 5-6 minute sound bites for the media. The long term, again, the bigger picture, I should say, was his lifetime experiences, what it takes for someone like Dan Rather to succeed and get to a position of prominence where he follows Walter Cronkite, you know, who was the face of television for many years. If Walter said it, it was true. And so for Dan Rather to succeed that and become the icon of news and the icon of reporting and the icon of essentially what was trust between the public and the government, if you will, where you had the media and the investigative reporting, and Dan Rather was certainly the icon of that.
Alex Holland is a junior political science major from Las Vegas, Nevada. Alex, tell me, what did you take away most from hearing Dan Rather speak to the master class on Tuesday afternoon?
I really enjoyed his connection that he made with the students. Even though there were so many in the room, it was like he was speaking to each one of us individually. His life experience is pretty incredible for him to come from not really anything and making himself such a prominent figure in the media. So I have to say is the way he can connect with all the students here.
I will say that he posted on his Facebook page, the Dan Rather Reports page, the day after the event, he had posted that he felt a real connection with the students here because there were so many students who maybe are first generation college students. As you're studying political science, what did you take away from him talking about the nature of the journalist responsibility to power?
What I enjoyed is when somebody asked what it takes to be a good journalist, he really focused on honesty. You know, I think it's pretty difficult to be in the media and to not be biased because we all are biased towards one thing or another. But he really focused on being honest, getting the accurate information. And I know he's made some mistakes, but most people in the media do, and that happens. But I think it was pretty humbling to hear that honesty is the most important thing.
If you look back on this 10 years from now and you say, hey, I remember that guy, Dan Rather, came to speak on campus when I was at ULM. What do you think you're going to remember then?
I'm just going to probably think of this guy that came to our school that was, I mean, he reported JFK's assassination. That's not that's so long ago, but when I think about it, you know, being born in 1991, that's a long time ago. I hope that, you know, the media can try to stay honest as far as what they're reporting, staying accurate, because today you don't even know what to believe.
Dr. Unter, tell us about how the Lyceum is put together. There's a committee of people who do the choosing to pick the speakers. How did the committee come on the choice of Dan Rather?
The committee, you know, is made up of students, student government, and campus activity board representatives. It has faculty, it has administration, and then community members. And it always is a fun type of situation where we just literally just start throwing out names. Again, they're committed, though, to the intellectual contribution that and the gravitas that these people bring. It's not just, you know, bringing in somebody that is going to appeal to just students, but somebody that actually has a body of work behind them, has a life career, whether they're young. We brought, you know, we had Lisa Ling here 2 years ago.
Right.
Again, a very young person, but somebody that has the authority and the experience and the expertise to talk about the things that she's able to talk about. So that's the first thing we're looking for. It's not a flavor of the day. It's not a fad of the day. So it's hard to predict, though, who's going to be there next. next year, because whoever the top people are, you know, and then of course we're always constrained by cost. These two people do cost money. The fact that we are an educational institution does help us in terms of being able to negotiate with them. It gives them a sense, the speakers a sense, that they are doing a service. This isn't just a, hey, come speak to a corporate outing, things like that. We do ask them to speak to the master class, so there are and we want to make sure that there are students involved. It's going to be fun. Every year after these events are over, we always get together and we always say, now how are we going to top this? So then that remains our goal. You know, we had James Colver, Mary Madeline. We said, how are we going to top it? We had Lisa Ling. How are we going to Thomas Friedman? Now how are we going to top Dan Rather? But we look forward to it.
So what did Dan Rather bring when you were in the master class? What did he bring to the students that the general public might not have seen for the people who came on Tuesday night?
The personal connection, the ability to speak directly to an individual in a large group. That was always his thing when he was on the news. He made it seem as if he was talking to you in your house, even though there were hundreds of millions of households that he was talking to. That being able to look and say, this man experienced history, where he was, what he's done, what he's reported on, so that it's not just, hey, I read about Watergate in a book, where he's talking about the fact that he was there, he was reporting on it, he knew Woodward and Bernstein, he interviewed all the presidents. This is not, you know, this is living history. So to be able to hear it from his mouth and through his eyes was just an incredible experience.
Did the students have a sense of that? A sense of that history, do you think?
I think they did. It was very quiet. Normally, sometimes when you get a large group of students in a room, there's always a little bit of murmuring in the background and things like that. I didn't hear that this year, and I thought that was kind of interesting. He definitely commanded the attention, and everybody was just enraptured by what he was saying.
Dr. Kevin Unter is the head of the Department of Gerontology, Sociology, and Political Science here at ULM. He also serves on the committee for the ULM Presidential Lyceum Series. And Alex Holland is a junior in political science from Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
While some students are excited to be going to college, a select group of students want to take their undergraduate experience to another level. The Honors Program at the University of Louisiana at Monroe works to offer that chance with smaller classes, close interaction with faculty, and extra challenges within classwork. Dr. Joshua Stockley has recently been named as director of the ULM Honors Program. He's an assistant professor of political science and teaches the Honors Social Science Seminar. Dr. Joshua Stockley, how did you first become involved in the Honors Program?
Well, when I first got here, I had been involved in honors programs in the past, helping people with their honors thesis. And my past interactions with honors students indicated these are some really bright individuals. These are motivated individuals. These are people who absolutely understand the university concept. So when I first got here, I asked Dr. Rubio, my predecessor, point blank, I said, what can I do for the program? And he kept me on the list. I assisted with Quiz Bowl about 3 years ago. And then this past year, I volunteered to teach an honors course. And so assisting him with various projects, assisting him with Quiz Bowl, and teaching this honors seminar, it reminded me how much I love the honors concept and how much I love these honors students and how dedicated they are and how well they think critically and how they have to be challenged differently. And that's something I enjoy. And that's a niche that I think I can bring to the university. So when Dr. Rubio announced that he was leaving, it was something I definitely was interested in.
You mentioned that honors students have to be challenged differently. Can you explain?
Absolutely. Honors students have an ability to think critically in ways that many students do not. They're always yearning for more education. They're yearning for a challenge. And so an honors student can be bored fairly easily a lot of times in normal classes. You've got to press them. You've got to challenge them. Get them to think outside the box. Oftentimes, and this is not a criticism, this is not a negative of my colleagues, but oftentimes your normal university classes are geared for normal methods of thinking. So what you can do in an honors class is you bring different types of assignments, you bring in different types of readings, you bring in different types of guests. And so it allows you to approach the material differently, challenge conventional ways of thinking and challenge conventional pedagogical methods to make sure they're using every facet of their intellect.
How does that stretch you as a professor?
it challenges me. I mean, every time I walk into a classroom, I've got to be prepared. I've got to be absolutely ready. I spend more prep time in these honors seminars because I know that they're going to be asking very critical questions. They're going to be thinking very deeply about whatever I've assigned. So I'm reviewing the material probably just as heavily as they are before every class period. It's more work, but it's more refreshing because you get into the classroom and they are bringing up themes and they are bringing up concepts and they are connecting these concepts sometimes in a fashion that I hadn't even done it. So they're teaching me things as well as me teaching them.
Amber Adkins is a junior in business for Monroe. Amber, how has the Honors Program challenged you?
Well, it has really allowed me to be able to test myself in that there's such a diversity in the program to where all the ideas that come about force you to think and have to research everything that you say because somebody's going to find a hole in your argument to where they're like, well, wait, and you have to really be prepared for anything. With the professors, particularly Dr. Grinnell, who's my very first honors teacher, we would have roundtable discussions for that English class. And we would sit there and talk and figure out every different angle of every problem that was brought before us, even to the extent that we compared Walmart and Starbucks coming to town to genetic engineering. And it was...
Okay, that's a stretch. You might have to connect those dots for me.
Well, basically, it was the ideal that with Walmart and Starbucks coming into town, it changes the identity of the town because you no longer have the mom-and-pop stores. Just like in genetic engineering, you can alter certain traits to get your quote-unquote ideal person.
Okay. Well, how did you first hear about the Honors Program?
I came to, I believe it was a career fair here at ULM my junior year in high school, and there were a few Honors Program people here to represent them, and I ended up talking to them for the entire hour and a half that I was here, and it was the most incredible experience for me because they just seemed to be filled with the passion and knowledge that I wanted. And so with that, I went home that day and filled out the application because it was posted online.
So Dr. Stockley, give us an overview of the program. We'll back up just for a moment.
First of all, for incoming students, you have to have a 27 ACT or higher. We ask them to write a 250-word essay, 3 letters of recommendation, and a high school transcript. Those are the requirements coming in. We do accept students after they're here, and they don't have to have a 27 ACT, but they have to have demonstrated some academic proficiency. When you enter the Honors Program, we're going to ask you to take what's known as an Honors Core, where you take a certain number of honors courses in English, in history, in the arts, and then things like honors seminars, social science seminars, and colloquia. And the idea of those things is to tailor education to your needs. We have different tiers within the honors program, but the highest tier is the university honors program, and that allows you to graduate with the honors distinction and honors cords. However, that tier also asks the most out of you because you have to write an honors thesis, and you have to defend this thesis to the faculty members that are on your particular committee. That's generally speaking what we are asking in terms of curriculum from our honors students. We also ask that they take honors courses within their major using what's known as an honors option. They are expected to do work beyond the average student, challenging them within that subject to demonstrate their proficiency and to prove their proficiency in honors.
So taking a regular class, but doing extra.
Yeah, being asked to do extra, an extra project, extra essays, read extra things, watch perhaps an extra documentary, whatever it might be, whatever that faculty member has defined as being honors within the parameters of that course.
So someone's heard this right now, and they're looking at that challenge, and that's something that is exciting, that's energizing to them, and they want to find out more about the program. What do they do?
They can do one of two things. They can email me, stockley@ulm.edu, and I'd be more than happy to send any information and answer any questions that anybody would have. You can also find our webpage, www.ulm.edu/honors. We have all of our information there and requirements and applications.
And you can also go to the ULM Honors Program page on Facebook and like us and see all of our current events, all of our past socials, and you can even get in touch with a few of our students.
So a chance to be able to connect a couple of different ways from the student side and from the university side.
Absolutely.
That's correct.
Dr. Joshua Stockley is the new director of the Honors Program here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. He's also an assistant professor of political science. And Amber Adkins is a junior in business from Monroe. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available online at kedm.org in the listening room.